Resolute Square.
There was also maintained what was called an enemies list, which was rather extensive and continually being updated.
Democrats want Republicans dead.
Where I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and I wouldn't lose any voters, okay?
The women with the least likelihood of getting pregnant are the ones most worried about having abortions.
On January 6th of 2021, you had tens of thousands of people peacefully protesting.
No, it's not a right-wing conspiracy theory. It's not QAnon. It's real.
I'm Rick Wilson, and this is The Enemies List.
My guest today is my good friend, Michael Steele. Michael and I have known each other since we were both Republicans back in the day in the trenches fighting the old war. Michael is the host of MSNBC or the co-host, excuse me, of MSNBC's The Weekend. He's the host of the Michael Steele podcast. Prior to joining MSNBC, he was the lieutenant governor of the great state of Maryland from 03 to 07, if I recall, chairman of the Republican National Committee from 2009 to 2012 or 11, end of 11, right?
Yeah.
He's also the author of Right Now, a 12-step program for defeating the Obama agenda, and the co-author of the Recovering Politician's 12-step program to survive crisis. Michael.
You can tell, Rick, I like 12-step programs.
Everybody likes a 12-step program, my friend. Absolutely. Do watch The Weekend with Michael. He's on with Alicia Menendez and Simone Sanders Townsend. It's from 8 to 10 on Saturdays. It is one of the best, fastest, lightest shows out there. They really dive right in, and it's just a must watch. I really enjoy it. So,
well, I look forward to getting you on, my friend.
I'm here for you. You know me.
You know,
I work the weekend shift.
Hey, look, you know, I like spice in the morning. I don't know about everybody else. I have Bloody Marys with Old Bay, so you know I'm ready.
That's some OG Maryland right there.
That's it right there.
Well, Michael, again, thank you for coming on the show today. We're going to rat-a-tat-tat through about a half an hour of what I am calling the GOP's worst week in ages. Because I think this has been a cataclysmically crappy week for the Republican Party. And I want to walk through with you what I see as some of the big you know, down notes here. First off, the collapse in the House of Mike Johnson's leadership on the House side with the Mayorkas impeachment and the meltdown over immigration. What do you think this guy's life expectancy is over there at this point? Because it seems like he's got no allies left.
He's got no allies. And here's the thing. He had no allies going in. I think Mike Johnson served a useful purpose at the time. Gates was successful in ousting McCarthy. There was no plan for a post-McCarthy era, as we saw from the number of flailings that were involved in trying to pick someone. When you are the seventh, eighth choice down the line, you ain't bringing nothing to the table that anybody really wants. So at the end of the day, in a good moment, you're a functional manager. And in the moment that we saw this week with the votes on Mayorkas and the votes on other matters, that you can't even manage. You don't go to the floor if you're the speaker without your votes. That is, I'm sorry, that's kind of like the rule of the job.
You just don't
go without the votes. And the fact that he said to me a couple of things, Rick, and I'd be curious what your take is on what I'm thinking here. One, that he said, F it.
Yeah.
You know what? This is my Kobayashi Maru.
Right. This the unsolvable problem.
The unsolvable problem. And the unsolvable problem he faced was, I don't have the votes, and if to impeach Mayorkas, and I don't have the means to twist the arms to get those votes to impeach Mayorkas, and so why don't I just push this out there and let those two or three Republicans who want to say no, that's on their ass, not on me. But hey, yeah, you may save yourself some space, some face in the caucus by exposing two Republicans that everyone wants to beat up on inside the caucus, but the country now looks at you as they always perceived you as weak. The other choices he had were, again, equally not good. And so for someone like him to not push the vote to the floor meant, without doubt, there would have been a call to vacate the chair within 24 hours.
That kill switch that McCarthy agreed to is still there. And Matt or Marjorie or any one of the crazies, or even the ones that don't pretend they're not the crazies, like Elise, who want to, you know, get in with Trump, any one of them can pop that button at any time, and it leaves Johnson. I don't think, and I'm talking about even like in like the post Gingrich, like the 5 second speakership of Bob Livingston days, we've had a weaker Speaker of the House in my lifetime. I mean, it just doesn't, like you just said in the beginning, you don't go to the floor. I was talking to Zerlina Maxwell on her show yesterday, and I was like, Nancy Pelosi would have known every single person's vote, who needed to be told what, who needed what to push them a little harder, who was in the pocket, who was good to go, who would bring in other people. I mean, and this guy just, it's like, and I know they don't really want to govern. That's obvious right now. And so that idea that they're not going to govern makes it even more apparent that there's just no, that they're always watching over one shoulder for Trump. They're always watching over one shoulder. You know, he's afraid of saying the wrong word to anybody, and Trump gets on True Social and says, "Weak Mike Johnson must go."
You're right. And it's all over. And look, I'm a God-fearing man, and you know, I appreciate other God-fearing men, but this idea that, you know, you have wrapped yourself so much with the Bible and so much with the MAGA movement and so many other things that have weighted down your speakership before you even began, you take away your credibility. And so at critical moments where you rightly make the point about someone like a Nancy Pelosi, she's not weighted down by those things because they are self-evident about her leadership. They know her religious background, and they know she doesn't govern from that position. When you govern from those types of position, you begin to alienate, I think, in many respects, members of your caucus in a way that you otherwise wouldn't. And I think for a lot of folks looking at someone like Mike Johnson, he went into the game weak, became weaker in the process, and as a consequence, didn't have the wherewithal to muster the votes. He couldn't go back and whipsaw someone. He couldn't threaten them appropriately. He could not leverage their vote for something else because of how he has so positioned himself in such a manner that people just didn't find him credible. And that was reflected in the massive losses of votes that he in votes that he took this week.
Support for Rick Wilson's The Enemies List comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable, all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/Wilson. That's odoo.com/Wilson. Odoo, modern management made simple.
It seems like the one thing he's good at so far is blocking aid to Ukraine in the House and blocking a border bill from going forward. And I wanted to jump to the next thing in the House, and then we'll get out of that particular ditch. The biggest failure, I thought, was this is a party that says, we're going to impeach Joe Biden. We're going to impeach Joe Biden. We're going to take this case to the American people and impeach Joe Biden. And to prove we can do it, we're going to impeach the DHS secretary who we claim is doing a terrible job. Right. How'd that work out?
Yeah. Good day at the office.
Good day at the office.
Pass the donuts.
Yeah.
Look, there is no room there for error. Let's just be honest. This using impeachment as a weapon against your political opponents. In each of the impeachment cases brought against prior presidents, including Donald Trump twice, there have been a legitimate nexus made to that ever-present and important clause within the Constitution that allows for impeachment around a violation of the rule of law, a violation, coming with, high crimes and misdemeanors. The Constitution is very explicit about that. And so bringing that evidence, now whether or not the Senate wants to convict on that is a different question. But in each of the impeachment cases, the high crimes and misdemeanor standard has been met, right? In judges that the House impeaches and have impeached over the history of this country as recently as last year, again, have met the constitutional standard. When you have Republicans go to the House floor and say, we have not met the burden, and then expect them to turn around and vote to impeach, it's a level of arrogance, but most importantly, it's disrespect for the members themselves. Because You don't value the oath that they themselves took like you.
Now, I want to jump, Michael, over to the other body briefly, where the Putin caucus is gaining power.
Oh, my God.
It looks like Mitch McConnell, who was one of the last, love Mitch or hate him, he was sort of one of the last guys standing against this new tidal wave of pro-Putin, anti-American sentiment from J.D. Vance and Ted Cruz and John Cornyn and Josh Hawley and Tom Cotton and the rest of these idiots. It looks to me like they're staking everything also on that caucus on blocking aid to Ukraine. Everything else seems to be secondary at this point.
They are. It is a national embarrassment from my view. And I ask the question, and I ask it legitimately, has Mitch McConnell checked out? As he decided he's done.
What do you think?
I think he runs out the rest of his term, but I don't see him coming back. I think
that's right.
I'm not a doctor. I can just objectively observe an individual's behavior, just as everyone objectively speaks on Joe Biden's health and in his situation and relative to his age. My sense is that he has checked out the way he's capitulated on something so fundamentally important to him. And I know it's fundamentally important to him, that touches on the national security of not just the United States, but our global partners, because that reinforces our national security.
Right. Call me crazy.
Josh Hawley, they are connected. Ted Cruz, you went to Harvard. You guys went to Harvard and Yale. What, you guys don't know how geopolitical things work?
Right. The meritocracy seems to be failing us with these guys.
Yes, very much so. Very much so. Harvard and Yale are looking for their degrees back at this point, because it's ludicrous. And they are themselves jokes, because they capitulate to a man who could not tell you where Ukraine is on a map. If you showed him Ukraine on the map and said, this is Ukraine, he would not understand what you're talking about.
Correct.
That's who they're following here. Instead of rightly aligning themselves with the rule of law globally, mm-hmm. that you don't just go roll up on somebody else's country and think you're going to take them out.
Yeah, call me crazy that a country that's our ally is somehow that you're just going to like walk away from that.
Yeah, and they're prepared to do it. You got, Tucker, I'm Putin's communications director, Carlson, over there doing interviews with Vladimir Putin. These guys are applauding that. They're not, you know, askance at the fact that, you know, this is happening. At the same time, we're engaged in this battle. So the Putin PR machine is at work in terms of communication, and the Putin, you know, geopolitical program is being upheld by members of our United States Senate. And it was very disappointing to see Mitch McConnell come to the mics and basically say, I give up.
Yeah.
You win. Putin, you can have Ukraine. If you want anything else to the table's yours, just run it.
Right, right.
And I think there's got to be in this election cycle a reckoning for that, because I'm just telling y'all, if Putin gets his way here and he's able to roll through Ukraine and collapse that government, you know Poland's next. You know a whole host of other folks are next. And if Donald Trump is sitting in the White House, Article 5 will mean nothing. It will mean nothing. He will not come to the defense of Poland. He will not come to the defense of NATO countries and allies. He will stand with Putin. And, you know, that World War III crap that he's talking about now, and again, with Donald Trump, everything is projection, becomes a reality, because it will happen because of his failures, not because of anything Joe Biden is trying to do right now to prevent Putin from emasculating Europe.
I'm starting to see some in some of our polling at Lincoln and elsewhere that Republicans are losing one of the most fundamental parts of what the party's image was for a long time, which was national security.
Yeah.
And they're starting to slip on that. And again, I think this is just like,
I mean,
such a
Rick, Democrats are hawks. When it comes to Ukraine,
that's what blows me away, is that we're now at a point where the Democrats are to the right of Republicans on a national security issue that is a easy lift. This isn't like Iraq. This isn't something complicated. This is good versus evil. This is not Afghanistan. This is not Vietnam. This is good versus evil. This is like, the consequences of failure are so high that even a lot, we're calling them inside Lincoln Project in our polling shop, the Red Dawn conservatives. And they're out there where these are people like us who grew up when Russia was the enemy. And when Russia does Russia shit, the response is not Donald Trump's response of like, I like how strong he is. It's, what the hell is this?
Right.
What?
And after what the hell is this? Is back up, mofo.
Right. So yeah, it's just like, it's one more piece of this mosaic of this unbelievably terrible week for these guys. I'm going to ask you a question now that you are one of the only people in the world who can answer it with knowledge and background.
Mm-hmm.
As a former chairman of the Republican Party, watching Ronna Romney, she'll pick that name back up any minute now, McDaniel, yep, collapse as party chairman and resign this week. I mean, walk me through what happens to the party, which is broke right now. You raise a ass ton of money, won seats for the party. Ronna has not had that advantage. They're broke. They're trying to get a credit line right now. What is it that, Where does that go, especially now that there's going to be like a Trump sycophant of some kind, like Laura Trump, and put in the job?
Well, so what we witnessed this week with Ronna's resignation is the complete takeover of the GOP by MAGA. It is now complete. That takeover is complete. The individuals that are being considered or talked about for the position, which Donald Trump will heavily influence who the next chair will be all in MAGA, will be a complete sycophant for Trump, who will turn over operationally, financially, and otherwise control to Trump's orbit, whether Trump is in the White House or not. So that, let's just be clear.
That
about
should where, really where scare him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, let's just be clear whether Trump's in the White House or not, where this goes. So this process of her elimination was inevitable. It was ordained not by anything other than Donald Trump himself. Every useful idiot is useful until he no longer sees their value. She has lost value for him because of the narratives that have emerged around her leadership and her. It's not about, obviously it wasn't about losing elections. Hell, she's been doing that since she's taken over the job.
Right.
So that wasn't the thing. She padded the numbers and took care of the dollars that he needed to pay his legal bills. Maybe she spent too much on flowers. What was the tipping point? Well, I think the tipping point was the fact that Donald Trump, again, found that she could not serve the purposes within the organization that he needed served because of the concern that was bubbling up among the members around her. So he doesn't want the distraction. He doesn't need the distraction. He wants it to be seamlessly operated. The fact that they're sitting there with $8 million, why is that? It's because all the money is going to Trump. It's not coming into the building.
$50 million between the RNC and the Trump campaign or the Trump super.
Right. Well, and I think it's important to note, Rick, it's the same issue that the Democrats had with Obama for America. A lot of money was diverted from the DNC to Obama for America, which frustrated the hell out of the Democratic chairman at the time because it made it very difficult for them to raise money going into important election cycles. But they were able to manage and still win the elections they needed. That has not been the narrative here for Rana, and it's not been the narrative for the party. And be honest with it doesn't matter who the chairman is at this point.
Really not. I mean,
because they're not going to win the elections. The House, I predict, or here with you today, is gone.
I think so.
I think the Senate, despite what it says on paper, has now objectively become in play.
I think that's right. Think
the Democrats have a real chance to not only hold the Senate, but pick up a seat or two in the process. Because the narratives that are going to spring up in Senate, which are Senate races, which are statewide races, are going to be the prevailing narrative is going to be around abortion, which benefits the Democrats. It's going to be around Ukraine, which, again, benefits the Democrats. And it's going to be around, get the irony of this, Rick, the border.
Yes, indeed. That is, you know, it's funny. I talked to two U.S. senators. I texted with two U.S. senators today, one Democrat, one Republican. And the reaction to the collapse of the border negotiations, both of them were like, I can't believe these guys don't get what they've done. Especially, you know, you look at Cruz and Cornyn in Texas. Great Houston Chronicle our article yesterday about it. These two guys thousands of times went out in front of the cameras and said, I need a border bill. And the things I need in the border bill are this and this and this. And this border bill had all those things, everything they wanted, and frankly, more than they'd ever been able to get before. And what happened? Both of them led and whipped people against the border bill because they want to stay and go with Trump. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. And they deserve what comes from this. And so I again declare with you on this show that any and everything that happens at the border from this moment forward rests solely, squarely, and only at the feet of Republicans, not Joe Biden. You can bring up all the shit you want about Joe Biden for the last 3 years, what he didn't do on the border, and you'd be correct. But it doesn't matter because Joe Biden got behind the bill that would have given the Republicans everything they wanted. And they said, hell no, we don't want to take the win. So guess what? That says to me, you are willing to take responsibility then for everything that happens because the bill that would have had an impact, not 6 months from now, Rick, immediately.
Right. It would have immediately given the president the powers they demanded
to shut down the border.
And that Biden agreed to use. It never ceases to amaze me how like recursively self-destructive these guys have become in all this. I mean, I put out an ad yesterday. I'm referring to him now as Don Coyote. Now, a friend of mine sent me that idea. I stole that idea, but I'm using the hell out of it now because really what you have is Donald Trump siding with the cartels,
the coyotes, the child smugglers, the fentanyl smugglers, all these people that they claim are an immediate, right now, national security threat. This very second, we have to do something now. They're like, no, no, we can wait. We can wait. And as the Republican senator I communicated with last night said to me, don't they understand that they will never get a better bill?
Nope.
There will never in the history of ever be a better bill.
Nope.
They will never. The Democrats now will be like, go fuck yourself. No.
Yep, absolutely.
We're not playing your game. We're not doing this. That's it. It's done. Nope. You tried. We tried. We tried to help you.
And the next bill that does come along, if the Democrats have a majority in both the Senate and the House, will be nowhere near anything like this, as you said. And their ability to control that narrative is gone. I don't want to hear a Republican in elected office anywhere say anything about the border. You have silenced yourself as having anything to say at this point, because you had the golden egg, the golden
right.
the brass ring.
Yep. You had everything you could have asked for.
Everything you could have asked for right there. You had the far left dangerous Democratic president, as you referred to Joe Biden, give you what you want.
And you walked away from it and said, oh, no, this isn't good enough for us.
So you don't get to say anything about the border, which, again, is why I put that in the third bucket.
No, I think that's right.
For Democrats.
And Michael, you're a guy who understands how to go out and look at a state, look at a district and say, oh. And you're right. That map Mitch McConnell had coming up this year was really good. There's no debating how good that map was if they hadn't decided to be stupid. And I think you're right. The House is the Biden 18 districts. Those people they know that their days are numbered. I think
they do.
I think those people are probably going to lose more than half those seats.
Yeah, I agree with that. Absolutely. The first real test is going to be the upstate New York.
The Swazi race, yeah.
And that'll be the first test. Yeah, the numbers are tight, but I think that's not reflective of how the vote's going to go at this point. I think that district is a D-plus district. So I think the Democrats are more than most motivated to turn out. And I think you're going to see that across the country in a number of ways. And I think as various narratives improve, Rick, on the economy, continued, I think, inside pressure on Benjamin Netanyahu and the hard right in Israel to deal with the truth of a two-state solution in the Israeli-Palestinian question, as well as, and I agree with Hillary Clinton. Oh my God, that's a clip. That's
uh-oh, gonna be now you're going to have a million trolls. He agrees with Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, exactly. Hillary Clinton appeared on our air last night, and I agree with her. I think the Ukrainian funding bill measure will pass the Senate and will ultimately pass the House because the political damage is so great at this point. They can't afford to add more to it. I mean, at some point, you have to stop the bleeding, and the rationale is going to come that this begin to help us do that. And I think I think the reality of what the spring will look like for Ukraine, absent that, becomes hard.
It's very bad. Well, listen, Michael, you and I could talk all damn day, and folks, we do talk all damn day. I want to thank you so much, Michael, for coming on the Enemy's List today. As always, folks, tune into Michael's show on Saturdays on MSNBC. You can catch him on their air on his excellent podcast, Man About Town, as I like to say. Thank you again, my friend. I will talk to you again later.
Anytime.
Thanks again for listening to The Enemy's List.
If you have any comments, questions, or if there's someone you'd like to hear on the podcast, hit me up on Twitter at TheRickWilson. Thanks again for the wonderful support you've shown the pod. We're growing fast. It really helps if you will share this with your friends, your family, and anyone else who, like us, is trying to save democracy. While you're at it, if you could rate and review the podcast, I would be very much appreciative. I know this is the sort of thing you've heard a billion times. Please rate, review, like, blah, blah, blah. But you need to do it. It really does help us a lot. We are slaves to the algorithm, my friends. And if you do this, it will help get the pod out further. Anyway, thanks again for listening. I'll see you next time. And remember, whatever you do, stay off the list.